Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, after decades of controversy over their personal lives and their political legitimacy, an unprecedented number of European monarchies are putting their faith in a new generation of female heirs to the throne, and a surprising number of these princesses have started their careers in the military. And here to tell us more is Associate Editor for Royal Central, Lydia Starbuck. Lydia, thank you for being with us. There's a growing trend across Europe's monarchies to change their rules, and those rules used to favour male heirs, but increasingly now they're passing the crown on to the eldest child, regardless of gender. And that's an important place to start.
That's right, Claire. Yeah, I mean, it's a change that's really only happened in the last 20, 25 years. We kind of take it for granted that that's the way it is now. But a lot of these alterations to succession laws have been very, very recent in the UK. It was 2012 when women gained kind of parity with men. Leading the way is kind of Sweden. In 1977, the current King and Queen of Sweden had their first baby, a little girl. And at that point, their daughter had no rights to the throne at all. So being the proud mum and dad that they were, they kind of started to push for changes to the succession laws. And they came in 1980, and that kind of began a wave of changes across Europe, which now sees most Western European monarchies, but not all, give equality to men and women.
Mm-hmm. And why then did Sweden lead the charge? What was the story that led to that change?
Well, King Carl XVI Gustaf and Queen Silvia had a daughter in 1977, called her Victoria. At that point, she had no right to the throne at all. In Sweden, up until 1980, the female branches of the royal family tree were kind of dead. If you're a woman, you couldn't succeed, and neither could any of your children. It just stopped there. It was only men who were allowed to take the throne. So they had a girl first, and Carl Gustaf and Silvia are both quite modernising influences on the monarchy. And so changes began to take place to allow Victoria to succeed to the throne. And they were kind of passed at the beginning of 1979, but couldn't take effect till 1980. And in the meantime, Silvia and Carl Gustaf had a son. So they actually produced the male heir that they needed. And then a few months later, he got bumped out of the succession by his older sister. So Victoria is kind of a groundbreaker in many ways. She's the only princess in Europe who's actually managed to shove a brother out of the top spot and take it for herself.
Yeah, and you told us earlier that the rules have changed in many countries, but not all. And not all includes in Spain, where the old rules mm-hmm. are still in place, but the current king has two daughters.
Yes, exactly. So King Felipe and Queen Letizia, who I think are probably sort of outside of Western Europe, probably the best known monarchs in Western Europe outside of the British royal family at the moment. They're very glamorous and have quite a high international profile. They have two daughters, Leonor, who's the heir to the throne. She's 18 and her sister Sophia is 17. However, although Leonor's heir to the throne and everyone in Spain very excited about her, she began her military training last year and lots of articles written in the Spanish press about the future is Leonor. She's the great hope of this monarchy that's taken quite a few knocks in the past few years. Should mum and dad somehow produce a son in the next year or so, and they are both in their early 50s, so it's still possible, but, you know, probably not going to happen. If they had a son, he would bump Leonor out of the top spot and become heir to the throne. So in Spain, men do still technically outrank women, but there's two girls in the immediate line of succession. So for this generation, at least, the kind of debate's been shoved to the back burner.
OK, and she brings us into this narrative around the female royals who are embracing military service. And that, you say, is part of the attraction, part of her star power, is it?
It really is. I mean, there was a huge amount of interest in Leonor joining the military. I think the thing to remember about Western European monarchies, constitutional monarchies, often the monarch becomes automatically the head of the armed forces. So where you have this whole generation of female heirs, I suppose there were question marks about whether these princesses would go through military training. You'd automatically expect a male heir to the throne to join the army or the navy or the RAF or do some kind of military service. But as this new wave of female heirs came into kind of, you know, their later teenage years where they're approaching adulthood, there were questions about whether they would do the same thing, and they all have. And Leonor began her military training last summer. She's just completed a year with the army. She's got a few weeks off, and then she's going to start a year with the Navy. But it brought a massive amount of interest outside of Spain as well. And there is kind of an almost bizarre level of interest we find at Royal Central in female heirs to the throne doing military training. It was the same when the heir to the throne of Belgium, Princess Elizabeth, began her military training. There's this almost unbalanced interest in it. You suddenly see the hits on the website go up, which is fantastic, but there just seems to be this almost kind of disbelief that this is going on, and it brings a huge amount of interest.
Mm-hmm. So she has done, Princess Elizabeth of Belgium, 2 years of military service. So is that her mm-hmm. done on that side of things?
Yeah, she did her military training. She still goes back and does training courses. And in a few days' time, we have Belgium's National Day, July the 21st, which is also the anniversary of her father's accession to the throne. And she will march with the military, as she has done for the last few years. Previously, she sat on the dais with her mum and dad and watched the big military parade go through Brussels, but she now takes part in it. So she goes back and tops up her training, and she'll be seen on parade. But her big chunk of military training is complete for the time being. She's just finishing her studies at Oxford, so she graduates from Oxford in the next few days as well, and then hops on to Harvard.
Okay. And is this part of this move to have the princesses in the military? Is this a bit of a PR exercise from royal families? Because they're going through a difficult moment with people questioning why they exist and should they exist. Is this part of their efforts to push back against that?
I think it is to a certain extent. I mean, I think the monarchies that have female heirs have found themselves in a very different situation. Obviously, we expect equality. We expect men and women to be treated the same. It seems bizarre to talk about a system where a woman couldn't take on a role simply because she has a younger brother. That seems completely, you know, outdated and outmoded. But this kind of pattern of how monarchies develop and what they're expected to do, it has to fit this new kind of set of characters. And I think showing the young princesses who are popular, there is a massive interest in them. There just is. Monarchies prosper when they have young blood. You know, people are interested in the young people in monarchies. That's when people start to really look at them. And if they go in to the military and start doing what people expect a head of state to do, I think it does consolidate the monarchy's position within the constitutions of the countries they exist in.
Mm-hmm. So we have a couple of more princesses to talk about now who are in waiting or in the military. The Netherlands has a male monarch, the first male monarch there in almost a century, but there's a princess in waiting. What's she up to?
Well, yes, I think the Netherlands, they've got a king for a couple of years, but they're going back to the pattern they're used to, because they had female rule for 100 years and then suddenly got this king out of nowhere. Beatrix, who was queen from 1980 to 2013, only had sons, which is an absolute rarity in the Netherlands. Her eldest is now King Willem-Alexander, and he only has daughters. So his eldest is called Amalia. She hasn't done military training yet, but Amalia's had probably a slightly rougher ride than the other princesses who are currently first in line. She was born in 2003. She'll be 21 later on this year. And she wanted to go to university, but that proved problematic because nothing was said until everything was done and dusted. But she had quite a few threats to her security, and things got so bad she had to go and live outside the Netherlands for a time. And it probably highlights, you know, the dual nature of this position. Yes, you've got, you know, you're never going to worry about where you live, and you've got all of these marvelous opportunities at your fingertips, but people do target you as well. So Amalia is quite a shy girl, probably shyer or appears to be shyer than some of the others, but she went along to kind of a big meeting of politicians when she turned 18 and pledged her service to the Netherlands and said she was willing to learn and prepared to do whatever she could to be a really good monarch. But I suppose she's the most obvious example of how do you let a teenage girl be a teenage girl while they're preparing to be head of state.
Yep, a difficult question for them to answer, I'm sure. Well, Lydia, thank you very much for joining us. Lydia Starbuck, Associate Editor with Royal Central.